a backlog of sorrow, like most people do, which is, you know, the sorrow of when I was 5 years old and this happened, and the sorrow of when I was 10 years old, and when I was 12, and when I was 17, and when I was 24, and, you know, many, many things like that. I mean, we, you know, why do you think there's healing as the first phase? The first of the after-death phases is healing. Why? Because we haven't paid attention to our wounding here. And to be able to look deeply, it's so interesting. I mean, you can't do the review without the healing. And therefore, you can't move into fifth chakra, sixth chakra, before 2 and 3 are clear. So healing comes before balance, comes before review, comes before preparation. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think this life's sorrows are quite enough reservoir for lots of tears for many years. Meaning, every time we are a child, every time in childhood the parent says, don't cry, or some adult says, it'll be okay, honey, it'll be okay, or, oh, come here, it'll be better, okay, it's okay, it's okay. And those are very kindly responses. Boys often get, you know, don't cry, that's weak, don't be weak, or we learn ourselves, I don't want to cry, I don't want to make my parents angry. How many times do we think that happened in childhood? Probably many, many. So, I think we have lots and lots of sadness that we haven't released. I think that it's very short-sighted to imagine we finished anything. I mean, the mind is much deeper than the conscious mind. And so we can say, well, you know, when my friend died or my loved one went away or something, I cried, yeah, I guess I'm finished with that. I would never say that. I don't think anybody could ever say that. I don't think it's possible to say that. You know? The mind is like the ocean. And if you can't shine your light into the full depths of the ocean and know that you're hit the bottom, then it's impossible to say I finished anything. I think that's a much more realistic view. Oh, yeah. Well, I think a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people underestimate the complexity and the depth of the mind, of the personal mind. Usually it's intellectual people who think, you know, all this busy activity of my conscious mind is my mind, and I know it because I'm so busy with it all the time. But that's completely untrue, because the majority of the mind is unrecognized. The personal mind, let alone the universal. So it just means whatever comes up, don't be surprised. I think that we project on ourselves, we project always we project on the other who we think is suffering, or who may be suffering, our own emotional position and our own self beliefs. So, I mean, I think animals and plants feel some sorrow. There's some material that said something like trees feel a twinge of sorrow at twilight, the time of sunset every day, that there's a sorrow, a little sadness in the trees because they're missing the sun. And that, I think that's very true, that the little sadness we may feel, or the kind of poignant feeling of late afternoon before sunset, is partly the trees feeling sad that their beloved is leaving. So, but plants and animals don't have the same complexity of the sense of self as we do. You know? So we suffer more than they, for sure. because we think about it. They don't think about suffering, they just feel pain. So, you know, mm-hmm. Buddhism, the difference between pain and suffering, right? That even the Buddha would feel pain in his toe when he steps on a thorn, but there's no suffering to the extent that it's fully understood and there's no created narrative, and he's at ease with it and understands the karma and accepts it and feels the pain and feels the sensation and also sees sensation as empty too. And then, you know, can let it, can, is not, doesn't naturally hold it. So I think animals are closer to that. They're feeling pain, but not the same degree of suffering. It's not like, there's no self-pity. We have a huge self-pity in our suffering. You know? So our suffering is not only the sensory pain of some, you know, stimulus or the loss of heart resonance. You know, the loss of a loved one is basically the removal of a heart resonance with a loved one. The one I loved is no longer bouncing, is no longer there resonating with my love, with my heart love. So I send my love and there's no one there, and it goes out and doesn't return like that. Yes, there is a feeling of loss for them for sure. It's and therefore, you know, and the more conscious, the more self-conscious they are, meaning the higher their level of second density consciousness, the more they suffer. Like the story of the elephant group that traveled miles to pay their last respects to the guy who brought them back to the wild. I mean, I think that's a real story. And cats, like elephants, are senior members of the animal kingdom, and therefore are more self-conscious, and therefore suffer more, and therefore more sense of self, and therefore would feel the loss deeper than a fox in the woods. As we can see with different pets, you know. If somebody died, the hamster doesn't know. But the cat, the dog, and the elephants know. I also think, and this is very esoteric, I think that there's an organization in species of the animal kingdom and plants that's akin to a kingdom. The old metaphysical term is the animal kingdom. Why? Is there some king there? Maybe, actually. Meaning that they have their own organizational system, right? Like a tribe or a pack or a herd or a school of fish even. There's some kind of, like birds migrating. There is some kind of hierarchy there. And therefore, there's also a formality to their relations. Again, you know, it depends, right? There's a difference between an ant and a fox and a dog and an elephant. So, but there is a certain, it's like when Nityananda needed to clear a community of snakes near some sacred tree or some big trees in area where they were cutting caves and making an ashram long, long ago, Ganesh Puri. He did some ritual and he did some talking to the snakes, and they all left. And so when they were there to clear the tree and cut the area, there was no trouble at all because they had left. And so he actually spoke to them. And little fragments through history of Buddhism, which you can't tell if they're real or fictional stories, showing relations between awakened monks and animals, there's a certain formality to it. You know, the animal comes and sort of shows respect, and the human also shows respect, and that establishes communication. And, you know, when Ra talked about what's necessary in the grieving or in the letting go with a loved one dies, basically there was some, there were two elements. One was letting go of the attachments, or allowing allowing the soul to go without without grasping to keep them from leaving, and the praising of the process. So there was a conscious disengagement. There is conscious disengagement necessary in the grieving process, metaphysically, so that they can really go and they don't become earthbound. Sorrow and grief does do that. That's, in fact, that's partly, you know, that's what Ra was addressing, is entrapment aspect of sustained sorrowful grieving, disliking, you know, going against the aversion to the process of the person of the other one passing over. I don't want this. No, no, come back. No, I want you. You must be here. I need you. I need you. No, no. All of that no, no does metaphysically hold the astral body. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the higher is the more subtle. That's why it's called the subtle and the gross. So, it can be that the cat is harvestable and quickly moved off to move in, you know, to prepare for ascension into the human kingdom, the human world, this world or another. There are all sorts of very subtle things going on, you know, that are really beyond us, like the oversoul of that group of cats. That group of cats has one oversoul, perhaps. Or a planet of oversouls that are representing higher self or group of cats. Hey, you could have a portion of six density souls, a portion of a planet or a world of six density souls acting as higher self for a certain group of cats on a certain planet in 3D or 2D. And when some members of those cats are ready for harvestability, certain other changes have to happen, and that cat is not available in its astral form for contact. But at a very high level, it's known by higher self and them that all is well. It was basically just break, 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 let go, unhook, unhook. And at that point, everything in that area, all the food material in the stomach and the intestinal area, was voided down and out, and up and down and out. Right, because that area needed to be healed by no food. Back, you know, let the energy, basically the etheric can do certain work faster without food. That's why yogis fast. That's why people in the grieving fast. Etheric readjustment is facilitated without concurrent digestive process. Yeah, and the reason he's doing that is, as I'm saying, the metaphysical individualization process of late second density being preparing for harvestability to 3D. That's my take on it. There was an application of force from higher self that needed to be integrated into the energy field. And it's easier to do that without having to digest food or deal with food at the same time. And the fasting, it's a kind of fasting. He was fasting to prepare to go through that energy upgrade. Just in the same way that people do fasting on shamanic journey or initiatic practice. You see, then basically what you're talking about is that same view that I was hoping and expecting and longing for a collective or mass planetary metaphysical shift, you know, December 21. You see, that's a wrong teaching from all those failed predictors. In my view, they have a, first of all, their morality and their integrity is a little mixed because they really like people listening and following them. Anybody who really likes people listening and following is already not an impartial speaker because there's a conflict of interest. They want to speak truth and they want to keep you with them. There's a conflict of interest. So, but the metaphysical transformation that's going on now isn't, I think it isn't akin to individual transformation in certain ways. You know, there's planetary and there's individual. Planetary is collective. I don't think that some kind of grace, blessing, provision of increased perception or veils stripped away from perceiving. I don't think that's going to happen in the same way we hope it to, or as it happens to the individual. It's different at this point. It's the collective process. Planetary harvest is different than individual initiation. It's similar, but not the same. Because there's the free will. You have to realize that there are lots and lots of people who don't want to see. And also, I don't think, again, I don't think that it works the way we're thinking, or the way you're thinking, that here still within 3D, there's momentary transformation in which great veils are lifted from thine eyes. I don't think that will happen. Yeah, it's really, honestly, it's a matter of being honest with oneself. If you see people who are not as mental, intellectual, you know, complicated as we are, somebody died, like a tribal situation, indigenous group. Somebody dies. Their brother dies on a hunting expedition. He's climbing up the tree to get a monkey, and he slips on a vine and falls down and crashes and splits his skull open, and my brother's dead. Right? My younger brother that I loved for many years, so happy I taught him how to hunt in the forest. Now, what? Well, I'm grieving and grieving and grieving and grieving for days, and at some point the elder says, it's not your fault, and you are a good brother, and he still loves you, and he sent me the message to say thank you. We'll see you in the great heaven beyond when you're come. And then it passes. And then instead of acute, you know, sharp grief, it becomes dull, achy pain of, you know, the unchangeable loss that he's not here now. That's all. There's no trick. There's no tool. Then there's no collective process to that. And you know, 10 years out, I don't feel it so as painful as I did that day. But it's always a scar in my heart. That's all. That's life. You know? And I think that doesn't sell any books, and that doesn't sell seminars, and that doesn't sell well. And that's all that healing needs. And that's really simple. And that's really honest. Nobody likes pain. But there's no but to me, tool is a trick, because really, I think when we want tools, or when we want an easy, we really just want to be finished with it. You know, we just don't want it. That's all. I don't want this pain. Fine. Nobody wants it. But the only way out is through. That's all. And as for the collective, you know, people, you know, it's a problem to believe foolish teachers, which we often do. I mean, so these people don't understand the process, and that's why they're public. The guys who really understand are private. But my sense is that the glorious tearing of the veil for renting and pulling down and dissolving a veil is only at the moment of collective mass dimensional shift, and everybody will be basically on the astral after that, except for the indigo fuck, you know, this indigo children is itself a garbage term. Really, it's a bad term. No, it's more misinformation, disinformation, and screw your mind by fixing you on a wrong way of thinking. They're not children. They can be 50 years old or 70 years old. There are 4D souls who came in the 1930s and the 40s. So they're not children, and they're not indigo. They're green. They're fourth density wanderers. So the fourth density wanderers will ride it out in their double bodies, according to the view. Everybody else will be on the astral, meaning in a ship or back home or moving towards home or with the loved ones, and, you know, in an ashram or a Buddha field, something like that. Depends on where you're from. So it's just wrong to imagine that there's going to be some dawning of collective enlightenment. That is not going to happen. And it's childish desire and childish child mind, you know, fantasy thinking to imagine it so. Simply put, there are too many people here who don't want truth. And they don't want soul. First of all, what's happened is all these terms have been so badly used and sloppily handled and played over the last two decades that people don't know what each term even means now, or we don't know what we're saying. To me, dimensional shift equals ascension. So ascension is the planetary ascension. The planet itself is ascending into the condition of first, second, third, fourth bodies activated. Yes, okay, so we both agree about that. What I am saying won't happen is instantaneous collective spiritual awakening of the current global 3D community. Well, look, I think that's a misunderstanding. You're still, you know, still in 3D body means still with veil in mind. And still in 3D body means still subject to 3D law. You see, when there's dimensional, yeah, that it's good we're getting into the details here. In my view, when there's dimensional shift, there won't be 3D bodies anymore. Dimensional shift equals the end of 3D. How do you know 3D is over? Because there are no more 3D bodies. It means the only ones who could ride through would be fourth density wanderers with double body, and everybody else will be dead, which doesn't mean dead, which means living on the astral plane in the astral body according to their level and conditions of departure and all that. So dimensional shift is the end of 3D, and there's no collective awakening. Well, the first thing is, it's collective awakening. Let's look at the different groups, right? For the 4D wanderers, if, you know, they have a double body condition, then presumably they would not die, and they would simply dissolve and reappear here. The 3D form would dissolve or morph into a 4D form, which they already have activated, more or less, somewhat. And they'll be on the pristine planet with each other, only. No one else, other than the angels and some helpers. But they will ride it through, and their 3D form will dissolve and morph into the 4D form, and they'll be here, and they'll be alone, together, with each other and no one else, other than the angels and the higher helpers. And then, of the other wanderers, they will all be in upper astral planes if they transit easily. And that's not collective awakening, that's death. That's the end of the life, the incarnation. That's the end, the vacation of the 3D body. It's the planet that makes the shift, and the individual makes use of it to the best they can. Now, it's a mass death. From 3D perspective, it's mass death. And that's not actually what these other speakers mean when they're talking, when they're predicting some kind of collective mass awakening or enlightenment. They mean humans here, now, everybody opens and says, oh my God, what a beautiful universe, I love you, let's make paradise. That's really what they're saying. And that's really what people are thinking, and that's wrong. Well, I think the dimensional shift will happen in its own time, and, you know, even the angels don't know the hour. So only the Logos knows that, and the Council and the higher Confederation. And then it's very quickly done. But the kind of mass enlightenment that many New Age people are speaking is not going to happen. What will happen is, from the 3D view, mass death. And from the 4D view, dissolving and morphing into the 4D forms and the beginning population of 4D positive Earth, which would be all the fourth density wanderers that are here now, and then more coming. Yes, that's how I think it'll be. As I said, it'll be gradual until it's instantaneous. And this now is the gradual, and the instantaneous is, from the 3D view, mass death and the disappearance of 3D bodies and form from Earth. From the 4D view, they will simply appear on the 4D plane now fully, or they will become fully conscious or significantly conscious. The 4D wanderers only will be then much fuller, much more conscious than now, and the 3D form will morph into their native fourth density body, and they will carry on. And they'll be, you know, just very much like that movie where there's a tree, his children, you know, are the only ones saved by that. Or anyway, some kind of a pristine, Edenic, utopian natural earth with no human buildings, but sparkling magical air, twinkling air, and higher beings will be available, will be appearing all over the place for the fourth density souls. But that it'll be a flash of light, something like that, and it'll just be a dissolving. People will just dissolve. There'll be a big flash of light, there'll be a big something, and then everybody will be in their appropriate astral condition. Appropriate means based on their consciousness and the conditions of passing. If somebody's terrified and freaked out, they may experience some kind of bardo for a while, meaning, you know, the manifestation of their fears, projections of mind. So, but it's not that everybody here is going to go to full enlightenment. Everybody here will die suddenly in mass. It'll be mass death. But it won't be experienced as, you know, physical death. It'll be experienced as a dissolving of light and an instant reappearance on the astral. That's how I see it. And that's a planetary awakening. But only the fourth density souls will be here after it's done. And everybody else will basically be finished. And that's all. It'll be like that. They will, the majority, you know, 98% of the current human souls will do their healing and review and prepare and move on to another 3D planet. That's all. That's the instantaneous that caps this gradual. And there isn't going to be any kind of mass metaphysical transformation, because that's considered infringement. You know, there are lots of people who don't want that. It's the same reason why UFOs don't appear positive Confederation doesn't appear more directly. It's the reason there are no, the Confederation doesn't do the flaps, the UFO flaps or mass sightings, because it's an infringement on the very great percentage that is not interested in, higher divine intervention. They're really not. They have a view of religion or God, and it's very distorted, and it's very out of reality, and that's all they think. So I think that those speakers, they peddle hope based on, immature view of metaphysics, immature view of the law of free will. So I think this will just go on and on and on for what? Who knows? A year, 3 years, 5 years, 20 years? I don't know. Yeah, I think I would agree with some part of that. I think people would have to, to make peace with the view that I just shared what I believe. People have to accept the discomfort of remaining with these people as they are until the end. And the understanding that we are not a unified community here. This is not home. This is not my group. They are not my friends. Now, I'd be happy if they're my friends, meaning all Earth humanity, but they don't think that way. Okay? They don't want me to be their friend. This is not a loving community of souls by choice, by their free will. And dimensional shift will not override their free will. And it's the same tomfoolery, which is the positive ETs will come in and save us, more or less. So then the other view is dimensional shift will come and save us, or make us one happy whole community where everybody loves each other. But that's not reality. That's Hollywood. We really do have a lot of fantasy thinking from Hollywood. And there isn't the same, our desire for a certain happy ending is certain times is just a fantasy. So I think that there will be continued gradual change with more or less the same conditions of consciousness until the end. More people will open into love, and more people will stay stuck, and more people will go negative, or the negatives will go stronger negative. And that'll be it. And then at some point there's dimensional shift and it's all over. That's to me what will happen. And no man knows the hour. So we need to just be patient. And in general, I think, again, I come back to it, people, place, and work. Where do you live? Who are you with? And what are you doing? And if those three are analyzed very closely, we'd find that there's a lot to that often that we don't like and doesn't fit us. I'm not really doing many things I want to do. I'm not really with people I like, or there are certain people in my life I don't want, I really don't like, and I continue with them. And or the place where I live really doesn't fit me. I really would hope to be there or in some other type of place. And if we don't address those three, then we'll continue to suffer on the non harmony of not fulfilling our desires, and then hope for some kind of quick salvation. But if those three, I can just say from my own experience, if those three are well taken care of, as well as lots of making peace with reality, with the way things are contrary to how I hope they are. You take a hit. Yeah, I am on planet Earth, and yeah, it's just not likely that the quality of relationship we seek is available. It's just not. So, because we're not as we should be either. or as we truly are, because we have a 3D body, where there's a veil in mind, and lots of limitation, limited perception. So there's a lot of less than optimal or less than ideal, non-ideal conditions of our incarnation that we haven't fully made peace with. And we have other desires that we haven't quite fulfilled. And when that remains, you know, without making peace with what cannot be changed, nor seeking stronger the desire to fulfill the desires we have, then we live in a lot of frustration and the desire to get out of here as soon as possible. When peace is made with the first and effort is made for the desires as well, things look a little different. There's a different flow. There's less self-repression, self-repression. So then there's a little bit more cheer and happiness. So I'm just saying, I don't expect at all any kind of collective humanity mass enlightenment awakening. Not at all. And there will be dimensional shift, instantaneous, and that signifies the end of the game. That's the last thing that's going to happen. After further Earth changes, yeah, it's I don't think that, honestly, I mean, my perspective, I would agree with all of that in general. And I personally don't think about new tools in terms of emotional release, because it seems to me a lot of the problem is our conscious mind is not as simple. It has a hard time appreciating the simplicity of the process, the simplicity of the process of soul evolution. Not easy, but simple. What's simple? These days, or recently, I'm tracing, you know, I often trace back the causes of manifest troubles or conflict or suffering or various conditions. Tracing things back, to me, a deep level of the blockages that, and the suffering we feel is about being, is not being totally honest with ourselves. It's a matter of honesty. And Rob talked about, you know, honesty, that, you know, the paucity, a paucity of which your peoples have, meaning people are not too honest here. I think that's profoundly true and a root level issue, a root level cause. So what trick do I need to deal with the loss of my beloved? I don't need any trick. I just need to keep suffering. And I will suffer. I need to be true to my suffering. I need to be true to my experience. That's all. I need to be true to myself, which is, it hurts a lot, and I can't stop crying, so I don't stop crying, so I let myself cry. And it feels so much bigger than this, and it feels like, you know, 1,000 losses and 1,000 hurts and 1,000 disappointments, and I don't know where it's all from. But I still feel it, so I'll still be with it. It's, you see, even the determination, okay, I'll still be with it. What's my problem? Why should I, it's like, I don't have to determine I'll still be with my hands. They're still with me, so I'll still be with them. Right? I'm gonna be with my body. Well, fuck, man. Your body's with you. Where the hell are you? Meaning, you know? There's a certain kind of many qualities of mind, but it's a certain dishonesty to our conscious of orientation to our own deep mind, and it's a certain betrayal that we've learned from day one, because our parents had learned it all well already, which is that, you know, This part of me I like, and that part of me I don't like. This part of me I will allow, and that part of me I will not allow. This part of me is just fine, and the rest, no. That's actually the root of sickness. That's the root of split mind and or neurosis, inner conflict, complexity, suffering, confusion, foggy eyes and blocked ears, and a stuffy nose as I clear my nose and my throat. All of that, it's basically water in the eyes, ears, nose, and throat. Water or sinus congestion, mucus obstruction in the eyes, ears, nose, and throat is unexpressed emotional process of second, third chakra that blocks the higher functions. And it's all about not being honest to ourselves. I'm convinced of that. And that's fifth chakra blockage. It's in this case rooted to second chakra. But the reason we don't know the mind is because we're too afraid of owning our suffering and pain. And the root of it is not another technique, in my view. Although, you know, some things help, like a pyramid or meditation or yoga or, you know, many, many. But those are technique enough. And if you want more, just do it more, right? You want more of the benefit of the training, not training aid, but the accelerant, stimulant of meditation or yoga is do more of it. Do yoga twice a day or do meditation 2 hours a day. You know, whatever. But there is no trick to soul evolution. And I think in general, we have lots of tools already. And it's not even that we're not using our tools fully, which is true. We don't, you know, if you want to nail something together, you just need a hammer. You just need one hammer. But what you really need is a lot of time and effort spent hammering nails. So it's not that we need more tool, I think. I mean, see, I know a lot of tools already, and actually we all do. The problem is we don't make use of the tools profoundly or fully or deeply, heavily using each tool. You know, hammer all the time, meaning meditate 2 or 3 hours a day. You want to push your process along? That's a very fast way. It takes no money and no complications. Just sit more. I know that's true. And I really think that the root of the problem is that we avoid painful thoughts and feelings. and the way, you know, the way to heaven is through the clouds. And those clouds are congested water in the eye, ear, nose, and throat, which is unreleased emotional blockage of second, third. Really, I'm not putting you down at all, but I know that approach is looking for, we're looking for tools, looking for more aids. You see, the problem is that we're in a very artificial environment. 3D really is an illusion in more ways than we realize and that we can even explain. And so we're living a false life. We're living a costume, in a costume, in a stage set. And we're vastly without our native consciousness, vastly diminished awareness from our native condition, without powers, without capacity, without awareness and understanding and information. That's 3D physical. And that, for us, is very artificial. For higher self, it is. But it's necessary and part of the Logoic plan and the Wanderer's plan to be here, you know, to take upon ourselves the limitations that everybody else has here so as to be of service to the planet and the people and the animals too. So that artificiality and massive diminishing of our native condition, awareness and understanding and powers and joy, all of that is severely lost or severely obstructed, therefore not available, is in some ways kind of unnatural. And that we don't make peace with normally, thinking that we really have a limited view that this life is everything, but it isn't. It's just a parenthesis in a much longer volume. So it's right that all these things are happening, but what's strange is that there's an experience of real separation and loss. In higher dimension, there's no experience of separation and loss. But here there is mighty experience of separation and loss. That is artificial. That's the illusion. Or that's the emotional foundation that we experience in this illusion. But there really isn't separation or loss. But we don't experience that. We experience loss and separation. So I think we have to make peace with the illusion, and also only actually by realizing the degree of its being an illusion, meaning an artificial limitation or darkening of our light. Yeah, I mean, just be nice to yourself. That's the most important thing. Be nice to yourself and allow yourself to enjoy whatever it is you're enjoying. If you can enjoy taking a nap every day, that's darn good. You know? And you can enjoy your meals. And you can enjoy your time with your cat. Yeah, so, enjoy what you can enjoy. And don't give yourself a hard time. Giving ourselves a hard time is really a very significant cause of suffering and distress, and really unnecessary. I mean, whatever we screwed up, we screwed up. Whatever we missed, we missed. Okay. What about today? Again, we just, we need to be nice to ourselves. If we're not nice to ourselves, then we really are not of much service to the world also. Because being nice to ourselves is fourth chakra, that's love. And if we're not doing that, then our wisdom is blocked too. You know? As the heart opens, the ears unblock. And ears unblock, we can hear more and then know more. Yeah, I mean, being nice to ourselves is the healing. I mean, the healing happens by being kindly to ourselves, and that allows understanding and wisdom and making peace. So, I mean, the healing is really being honest and kind. That's it. And that, if persisted in, consistent honesty with ourselves, real honesty with ourselves. When I feel wretched, I feel wretched. When I'm, silly and goofy, then okay, I can giggle. But when I'm clear, I'm clear. When I'm relaxed, I am. Whatever. When I'm angry, alright, I'm in angry. That's honest. And not giving ourselves a hard time. Like I said before, I think one of the fruit of deep meditation for me was a great elimination of self-conflict. And that's really being at peace with oneself, the limited and the unlimited. That's not full enlightenment, but that's a pretty good foundation. Yeah. Enlightenment is even beyond honesty in the sense that there's no real interest in falsity. There's no the capacity, the attachment to falsity. You see, our limitations are the result of our attachments that are ultimately limiting. And so we don't know because we're still holding on to falsity. Yeah, we can think of it that way. That's true. But I mean, it's the attachment to those distortions that keep them. It's not the distortion. The distortion itself is a blockage, but the blockage is maintained by an attachment to it, which is normally a fear of releasing it, which is associated with a fear of experiencing the emotional components of it. So, it's an unwillingness to be honest, actually. It comes down to that. And the honesty is, in many cases, that I feel this way, and I'd rather not. I don't want it. I hate it. I don't like it. But I am this way. Or I did that thing, or I missed that opportunity, or I hurt that person, or, you know, I lost my loved one, or I won't have my true soulmate for the rest of this lifetime, or we won't have joy as we remember it for the rest of this lifetime unless we do the adept work. That's the truth. So we can grieve reality or grieve the loss, which is honest. And if that's allowed to be natural, then at some point it's a duller pain, and the pain dissolves more into a greater view, a greater understanding of life and death, birth and death. You know, this is the realm of samsara, birth and death, the experience of separation and gain and loss. Gain, loss, and separation. That's the apparent reality. So, being honest returns to simple. But it's the simple of wisdom. And the higher self, or an enlightened one, lives in reality. So there's, it's like, yeah, I have two hands. How could there be any other question about it? I have two hands. I don't have four hands. I have two hands and 2 feet, but they're not quite, feet and hands are not the same. So that's just, you know, obvious. And enlightened beings are just obviously in truth. And therefore, they don't even need to try to be honest. The Buddha didn't try to be honest, he just saw truth. The reality of the experiential flow between the past life cause and the current life effect. Very simple. So, it's beyond then, you know, our attempting to be honest shows that we can still believe in falsity and we can still be attached to it. But, you know, the crystallized healer has no will. So there's no more will, personal willing away from reality. So an honest understanding of reality. So we definitely need to make peace with birth and death. And that is the illusion, because from a higher view there is no birth and death. There is no coming and going. There is no path. So there's just the one infinite love, light, intelligence, awareness. So, you know, there's the experience of form appearing and dissolving. Bodies come and go. That's the experience of birth and death. But that occurs within the space of eternity or infinity. So that's the fruit of meditation, to know that. Not think it, but know it. To think it by the realization, not by the hoping or the remembering. So that's why we continue on the path. So all right, well, thank you everybody, and good night, and thanks for today. See you soon, and take good care. Okay, bye-bye.